Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:05 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is January 7th. Happy New Year to everyone. And this has been a generally softer day for the majority of stock markets. Most indices in Asia were down in the region of half of 1%, some a little bit more, some a little bit less. And it was a generally softer day in Europe as well, with the majority of indices off just by a fraction. A couple were just up on the day by a very small margin. And in the US and the rest of the Americas, it's also been a relatively quiet day. By and large, we see that the vast majority of stock markets have held the upward breaks from the relatively lengthy range in consolidations and reversion towards the means, which happened in the latter part of last year. And as we say at the chart seminar, if the market has further to go now, they will sustain the upward breaks, which means that for those of us who would like to see these markets push higher, then they need to sustain these upward breaks. And crucially, you don't want to see them pulling back in a dynamic fashion into the into those ranging consolidations, or breaking their prime consistency characteristic, which has been the progression of higher reaction lows. So the environment still remains really quite bullish for the majority of stock markets, and a large number of them have completed these reversion towards their means over the last few months, while some remain relatively overextended. The environment remains really very bullish, and the vast majority of stock market indices have these rivetingly consistent progressions of higher reaction lows, and we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside until those are taken out in a meaningful way. Elsewhere in the markets today, we saw that the dollar was a little bit well was a bit firmer against currencies such as the euro and the pound and the yen, but a little bit weaker against, for example, a number of those Asian currencies, such as the Indian rupee, where it's breaking down from this little distribution below the high. Against the Taiwan dollar and the Korean won, it has sustained the downward break. So we're seeing that the Asian dollar index is pushing upwards, and that's reflecting the strength of the Taiwan dollar and the Korean won, particularly. In Latin America, the Colombian peso and the Chilean peso are both strengthening, and following really a very poor year for the Argentine peso. The Argentine peso does look like it's bottoming out now. So there's a very mixed picture in the currency markets. And where dollar strength is in evidence, it's generally against comparatively weak currencies that have had the greatest impact from the credit crisis, and it's weakest against some of the emerging markets, which have skirted recession or have come out of recession relatively quickly. Because we have this a little bit of dollar strength today against currencies like the euro and the pound and the yen, and also in part due to the fact that some of these commodities have become a little bit overextended in the short term. Gold was a little bit easier today, down by just $5, but still, having found support in the region of the 1100 mark or a little bit below that, it has rallied back above it in quite emphatic form over the last few days, and today's softness isn't anything that the bulls are going to be worried about. Also, considering the strength of the industrial metal complex over the last couple of days, they were a little bit weaker in here today, with nickel down about $700 and zinc down $111. Copper was down 6 cents. But they have also been towers of strength over the last few weeks, and are a little bit overextended in the very short term. So if we see a little bit of a consolidation for some of these industrial metals over the coming weeks, that's not going to surprise anyone who's watching the consistency of these uptrends, because things like zinc or indeed tin have been towers of strength over the last month. Tin in particular, having consolidated below the sort of 15,000 to 15,500 level for the better part of 4 to 5 months, and being a very quiet market indeed, has broken out in emphatic fashion and is exploding out of that range like we would expect to happen, particularly in view of the commonality across the sector. And while it certainly looks like it has further to go over the medium term, is becoming a little bit overextended in the short term. So there is the potential that we're going to see some of these industrial metals pulling back a little bit and forming another one of these steps in the broad advances that we've had over the last few months. Oil is also very steady above $80. It's only a little bit softer in here, and only a little bit off its high today, which was in the region of 83 and a bit. So oil found support and continues to have this progression of higher reaction lows, and we have another higher low to monitor now. The type of action that we're seeing is very reminiscent of what we saw back in 2005 and 2006, where the best consistency characteristic, and indeed one of the only consistency characteristics in the uptrend, was the progression of higher reaction lows. And the other major element to that trend back in 2005 and 2006 was the fact that it wasn't able to sustain an upward break. So this would suggest that rallies in the energy complex are probably high risk to follow, rather than waiting for the inevitable pullbacks and the higher lows to be formed. So oil is probably one to watch, and if we do see a downward dynamic, then the chances are that we're going to see another reversion back towards the $70 level, or somewhere around that region. In the government bonds, they were relatively quiet in here today, but as if you look at comment of the day yesterday, you'll see that there were a number of charts posted for government bond yields, and there is two very distinct camps in government bond yields, where on the one hand we see a group of countries such as the US dollar or the US or the UK or Canada, where government bond yields have rallied somewhat over the last few weeks, and with gilts particularly, they're pushing up towards that 4% level, which has been a bit of a psychological barrier over the last few months. On the other hand, you have Swiss bonds, which have been right down there at the historic lows, and looking like a failed downside break, and certainly looks like there's potential for them to rally. And with government or central banks being so active in these markets, then we know that they don't particularly want to see government bond yields pushing higher. And one buying new highs in government bond yields is a riskier prospect than buying them following a relatively or a rally in government bond prices. And certainly we see that in the Swiss government bond prices at the moment, where they hit 20-year highs and are pulling back from that level, rather than government bonds where we know that central banks are active and where the prices have already had a relatively large decline. So there is a risk and reward factor in government bonds that is probably worth being aware of if one were considering being active in that market. But the broad elements that we see as we enter the new decade are that emerging markets remain on track to be the theme that will motivate investors in the bull market that appears to be unfolding and has been running for the last 15 months or so. The strength of emerging market currencies helps to back that up, and the fact that we have w relative weakness of the dollar, the euro, the pound, and the yen against those currencies gives ample opportunity for carry trades to be put on. We have a very low interest rate environment, and while we're starting to see that central banks are talking about how they might raise interest rates, there are still enough of problems and enough of spare capacity in various economies in the West that we're going to have low interest rates for a while yet. And certainly there's going to be no shortage of supply of government bonds, and interest rate differentials are going to be widening between the emerging markets and developed markets. And while interest rate differentials aren't everything in the currency markets, it does make it difficult to be short of something like the South African rand, which is yielding in the region of 7% if that currency goes against you. So, and we are seeing that the rand is strengthening against a broad basket of currencies, and that is probably at least in part due to the fact that there is that attractive yield. So we're seeing that the currency trends and the stock market trends are running very much in favor of emerging markets, and these are not only leaders in terms of timing, but also relative strength leaders, and that makes them worth watching from an investment perspective, if for no other reason than because of that timing leadership. So the stock market environment remains really very bullish, and if stock markets have further to go now, they will sustain their upward breaks from these 4-month consolidations and completed reversions to the mean. So it remains a broadly bullish environment. Risks that are out there to that hypothesis would be a more broad-based dollar rally, but that does not appear to be unfolding outside of the euro, the pound, and the yen. It's really comparatively weak against a number of these emerging market currencies. And until we start to see an unwinding of carry trades, an unwinding of leverage, or any calls for fright for investors in emerging markets, then the status quo that's developed over the last 6 months, where we see that increased flow of assets is pushing into these emerging markets, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.